somewhere in there, seven. Even in the 60s, when most of you would think back to your childhood or adulthood, wherever you might be in that, that they were complaining about culture in the 60s. They were complaining about culture most likely in the 40s. My guess is they were probably complaining about culture in the 1900s, in the 1800s. I know they were complaining about culture in the 1700s. The reality is Christmas is very cultural. How much of it has to do with Jesus really depends on you. Depends on your family, depends on where you grew up, how you grew up, what you did with it. There's no way around it. No way around it. Christmas is very cultural. Actually, Christmas, the actual concept of celebrating Jesus' birth, is not even in Scripture. Except for they sang songs to Him as He was born. After that, you don't see people celebrating Jesus' birthday. Even after Jesus has resurrected and gone into heaven. Read after Acts, after John into Acts, and you don't see that. It's not there. And the reality is, a couple weeks ago I read a passage of Scripture that talks about the Sabbath and how God created the Sabbath for us. God didn't create the Sabbath for Himself. It was created for us to remember, to celebrate, to have benefit from taking a day of rest. This isn't any different. Christmas exists. Culture exists. Remembering exists for our benefit. Not for God's benefit. In every generation, my children, my grandchildren, will wish Christmas was like, and then they fill in the blank. I wish they were still doing, my kids it'll be, I wish they still showed Elf on television. Right? I mean, that's the one everybody watches. Now, my daughter loves that show. She quotes it almost completely. While her grandmother can quote that entire Charlie Brown special from heart. Right? Yes. So we go through issues of culture and things. I mean, last night I was at the Christmas parade. Had a great time, by the way. And I was handed a card. And it said, it had the words Happy Holidays with a circle and a line through it. And then it had the words Merry Christmas next to it. You know, don't cut Jesus out of Christmas. It's Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. That's fine. But it's still cultural. Matter of fact, Christmas and the concept of it is very fascinating. It was like somebody took a bag, threw all these little G gods into it, all the celebrations for those little G gods, not our God, not God, but little G gods, shook them up, threw it on the ground, and went, ta, Christmas. 200 years before Jesus was born, the Romans celebrated the winter solstice, which is December 21st, to their god Saturnalia. Saturnalia, if you want to know how it is, really. It's the god of Saturn. They gave gifts to each other in celebration. Such a big deal was Saturnalia that one of the Caesars tries to shorten it and had a rebellion on his hands. Another Caesar tried to get rid of it completely, and that just caused chaos. Don't take away someone's holiday. Right? I mean, you would feel... So if the president banned Christmas, would you think he would stop? Or would you rise up and revolt? I don't know if you'd revolt, but I know you wouldn't stop. Then another group of people, several hundred years after Jesus, the people from Germany area, the Germanic people, had a god named Yule, who came in flying on a horse with eight legs and brought in these green things, these trees, and they put them in their house. They burnt this log, the Yule log. And they celebrated the winter solstice, December 21st. So you get gift giving, you get Christmas trees, you get all of these things from these other places. Somebody stuffed all this stuff in a bag, throw it around and threw it on the ground, and poof, Christmas came out. But then, we dominated, us Christians. 4th century, after Jesus was born, after Jesus was resurrected, 4 centuries later, Christianity came to dominate the culture. But the church leaders were actually smarter than the Romans. They were smarter than the Romans, so they didn't try to kill Christmas or kill those celebrations. They co-opted them. They took them. They did something smart. They said, "We know the reason why you're celebrating." And we'll talk about that in just a minute. So instead of killing it, but let me, why don't you celebrate Jesus instead? And then the idea of Jesus' birth being celebrated on the winter solstice, just a couple of days later, was born. What's interesting about you and about me, that being the dominant culture for 1,000 years kind of messes people up. Because 1,000 years later, people forget why they were doing what they were doing. Christmas became a really weird thing. Went through some very interesting changes. For a while, you know what? How caroling was born? People used to walk around to people's houses and knock on the doors and they would sing a song in expectation that you would give them some liquor to drink. And so the next thing, caroling became a liquor party. From door to door, people stumbling around drunk. And that's pretty weird, right? I mean, hey, give me something to drink. You know, and then you fall off to the next house and do the thing again. You probably, after about 4 houses, you can't be singing well. Right? I mean, it can't be a good time, a good thing to hear. Or maybe you sing better. I don't know. It might enhance your voice. Then for a while, that kind of transformed into this, the poor people, and the whole meal, how we celebrate around a meal, the poor people didn't have anything. So they would go to the wealthy people's houses and knock on the doors. And at the threat of throwing rocks and breaking out your windows, they would ask for food. And if you didn't give them any, they would break your windows. And so then they would share their food with the poor. That's pretty messed up. This is Christmas. This is the celebration we're talking about. I mean, the Dark Ages weren't called the Dark Ages for no reason. I mean, this is a really weird stuff going on. So you think our culture has forgotten the reason for the season? It's always been a problem. So much of a problem that our reformers, the people who moved us from being all Catholic to being Catholic and Protestant, the guys that did that, the pilgrims that got on a boat and came to America banned Christmas. When you came to America, the northern colonies would not celebrate it. One of the reformers, one of the men that came over said, "Christmas is the worst holiday in the world." On the 12 days of Christmas, which was already around then, he said that men do more harm to the name of Christ on 12 days of Christmas than all the rest of the year combined. That's what they thought of Christmas. So if you were to be in America in the 1600s and you lived in the Northeast, you didn't celebrate Christmas. Because of all of the stuff that came with it, all of the walking around and getting drunk and singing crazy songs in front of someone's houses or throwing rocks, whichever one you wanted to do. It wasn't until people started moving to the South, all the crazy Southerners, who actually brought with them, they didn't come for religious reasons, they came for different reasons, and so they brought with them all of their celebrations. So Christmas did make it to the mainland, but it was when we got away from the religious reasons for moving to America. It wasn't until 1870, about 30 years after, like Dave talked about last week, that we put Thanksgiving into our national holiday. 30 years later, Christmas finally made it. President Grant signed into whatever, I don't know if it's a law, decree, or whatever they have to sign as a president, to make it into a national holiday. After Thanksgiving, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ comes after. You would think, but no, we had serious problems with Christmas. Some people did. Some people still do. what we do with the celebrations, how we celebrate. And culture is always changing, always adding, always subtracting to these things. I mean, in the 1900s, that was just 10 years ago, by the way, the idea of Cyber Monday never existed. Right? Nobody knows what Cyber Monday is, right? It's the Monday after crazy Black Friday. By the way, which was, you know, around in the, you know, probably since about the 50s. People went crazy buying stuff on that Friday. But Cyber Monday now exists. We're always adding. We're always adding to these things. Some good, some not so good. But the men, because it was men, I know, because women didn't lead back in 300 AD, but the men who co-opted the winter solstice celebrations were actually doing something very smart and something we should learn how to do in our own lives. They had a Mars Hill moment. It's found in Acts chapter 17. I'm going to read it to you. Actually, if you'd like to turn your Bibles, you turn to Isaiah chapter 9. We'll be there in a second. But after Acts chapter 17, there's this moment that Paul has as he's walking through the city of Athens. And he sees it. And the scripture says as he's walking around, his heart is breaking for all of the reality that these people don't know anything about Jesus, know nothing about Jesus. And he spies this statue that has, they have statues all around of all the different gods that they worship. They have one statue that says to the unknown God. And this is Mars Hill when he's standing up there and he begins to speak to these men who call themselves philosophers and worshipers of these gods. And this is what he says, Acts chapter 17, 24 through 28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. So he's surrounded by all these temples. You can imagine the Parthenon and all these different things around him. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breathes in breath and everything else. For one man he had made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he has determined that time set from them for them in the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as soon as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So Paul takes this moment. He takes this position where I see this statue here. And I'm not going to tell you you're idiots for worshiping all these things, but I'm going to tell you about this one thing. This statue right here that says, the unknown God, I know who that is. And let me tell you who that is. It's the God of the universe, whose Son is Jesus Christ, who came and he loved and he lived for you. And he took their poetry, which we'll get to read a poem in a couple of weeks that has changed our culture. He says, you're his offspring. He used their poetry. He used their culture to let them know about Jesus. And in reality, everything about who you are is a spiritual thing. Everything. And so in a moment of clarity, these men in the 300 or 400 AD after Jesus has gone into heaven, see these winter solstices, these winter celebrations going on around them. And what are they celebrating? Or what are they worshiping? Why are they doing this? Well, what is the winter solstice? The winter solstice is the shortest daylight of the year. December 21st always has the least amount of daylight than any other day of the year. Kind of weird. It's not the shortest day because it's still got 24 hours. You just don't have as much sun. Has anybody ever experienced going north in the wintertime and being in the north when all of a sudden it gets dark at 4:30? My seminary was in Minnesota, and we would go in the winter, and I'd go in the fall, and I'd go in the spring twice a year. And back then, before they changed daylight saving times again, daylight savings time happened on the last weekend of October. You know, remember like 2 years ago? Last weekend of October. Well, I was there. we would go for 2 weeks in a row. The middle weekend was daylight savings time change. And it would be bopping along normal. And all of a sudden that weekend, the sun would go down at like 4 o'clock. Freaked me out. I could never live there. And all of a sudden it's dark. I mean, it gets dark. And that's not the longest, that's not the shortest day of the year. I've never been there on December 21st, nor do I think I want to go there on that day. It's the shortest day of the year. You have no sun. Can you imagine living in further north where you have no sunlight for half a year or months? These people were calling out to their God to bring back the sun, to bring back the light. They lived in a culture where their animals would get cold and die. They had to slaughter lots of animals during the wintertime because they couldn't feed them all. So they have meat all over the place. So they have this big celebration. And so these men, this clarity moment, this Mars Hill moment, said, we know the bringer of the light. We know who the light is. We know the light of the world. You want a God who is the light of the world? Let us introduce you to Jesus. He is the light of the world. Psalm 27, they can start quoting scripture on them. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 89, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. Psalm 118, the Lord is God and He has made His light shine upon us. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. And if that isn't enough, the verses that we often quote at Christmas time, when we talk about the birth of Jesus, out of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9. You want to turn there with me? You can. Isaiah chapter 9 talks about the light coming into the world. I'll just start reading for you. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. It says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, He will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walk in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you. A people rejoice at the harvest as a warrior rejoices when dividing the plunder. We'll skip down to verse 6. Then he says this, we often quote this part. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord and the Almighty will accomplish this. A new light has dawned. You worship these gods who you hope that will bring back the light, but we have the light that will shine forever. Even in the darkness, this light shines. I mean, this passage of Scripture is so pivotal that Matthew quotes it in Matthew chapter 4. It actually quotes the passage about the darkness and in the light. And then right after it says that in verse 17, it says, from that time on, after quoting that passage of Scripture, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So the light had entered into the darkness. So that, like Linus so eloquently said, is why we celebrate Christmas. All of the other stuff, all the lights, the trees, the Santa Clauses, the candles, all of that, doesn't matter what it might be, the presents. We have to remember the piece of truth that we often forget. That Jesus' kingdom is here. His light has come. And we as believers should do whatever we can. We should co-opt everything we can get our hands on and say, this points to Jesus. even your holidays. All of the other stuff is just cultural. It will come and it will go. Some reformers will come along and they will strip away all of the television programming for Christmas. And we'll all be bitter for about 10 years, and then somebody else will bring it and put it back. All of that stuff is just cultural things. You can like them or dislike them. You can think they're appropriate or not. But the point, the challenge for us is, do we allow Jesus' light to shine through that? Because His light has dawned, and that's why we celebrate. So we're going to go through the next few weeks, and we're going to talk about the different things. We're going to talk about traditions next week, and then we're going to talk about the big controversy of Santa Claus the week after that. But we can't forget. The point is, it's light. It's the light that has come on the darkest day. The darkest day of the year. You can imagine if we lost power forever, and the only way for you to have light is to carry around a candle or to carry around a flashlight, if we can still make batteries if the power's out. Probably not, because you got to have electricity to make batteries. The only way to carry around light is to light a torch, to go around, and then you got to huddle around that one spot. That's, and you're begging for the light to come back. We have the light. Our worship band's going to come, and we're going to sing that song that we sang earlier about which king would come and do what he did. And so here's my challenge for you this week. Today was highly informational. You could go on the internet and read most everything I just told you. Although the internet is always true. We should always allow that to be a source of accurate history. My challenge for you is, think back over the next week. Think about your Christmas. Maybe think about your childhood Christmas. Think about what your family does or did. Spend some time asking God, maybe to show you where you have forgotten that His light shines into your life. Maybe there's some things that you do you don't need to do anymore. Maybe there's some things you don't do that you need to start doing. But to this time of season is no different than the rest of the year. We should always be finding ways to point ourselves, our children, our families, everybody around us to the light of the world. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today, Father. We thank You that Your Son, Jesus, stepped out of heaven and entered into our world and brought back the light that was gone because of our sin. God, I pray that we as a small group of people who would just evaluate ourselves. And Father, just show us where we're allowing the darkness to prevail in our lives. God, show us where we can show light to other people. God, show us where we can show light to our family and our friends. And God, I pray that we never forget. We never forget that You have brought light back to this world, and that following after You brings light even whenever all the lights are turned out. God, we pray this in Your name. Amen.